Hello there, boxing fans. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off with a couple of stories featuring women in boxing. The first one being Chantel Cameron. Matchroom Boxing have announced they have parted ways with their former undisputed world champion, who they've worked with over the past 4 years. Chantel Cameron became the first woman to defeat Katie Taylor when they battled in a modern-day classic almost a year ago, upsetting the odds to successfully deny the Irish woman's bid to become a two-division undisputed champion with a majority decision win on away soil. You know the coffee, lads. 6 months later, the pair went to war in Dublin once again, but it was Taylor who came out on top, returning the favor and putting an end to Cameron's undefeated record with a controversial majority decision win that some felt was slightly biased towards the home fighter on the night. During the aftermath, Cameron looked back at the defeat with embarrassment, revealed her disappointment with Matchroom promoter Eddie Hearn for clearly favoring Taylor despite representing both fighters, as reported by the Irish Mirror. "It wasn't just me and Katie in that ring," she said. "If it was, I'd take the loss and say the better woman won that night. I had everything against me. The ref on the night, it was such a high-status fight. Why would you put in a referee that had no one had heard of? That's not my job. It's my job to fight. I don't look into who's reffing, who's judging. I'm just frustrated. If I could turn back the hands of time, I'd make sure that I was all looked into. I've learned my lesson," she said. She also discussed the reaction from Eddie Hearn after that first fight, who was promoting both women at the time as well. "They also knew I was a threat against Katie Taylor, and that's what happened in that first fight when you see Eddie nearly crying when I actually beat her. In the second fight, in the celebrations, he forgot I was his fighter as well. He was jumping up and down, happy. Obviously, they had a great story together and great journey, but they represent me as well," she said. "I want the trilogy, but it's hard to work with someone that does that to you. I respect him as a promoter. I became undisputed champion under him. But that," Hearn celebrating Taylor's win, "was a little bit cruel and embarrassing for me as well." So, ever since, Cameron has demanded a trilogy bout with Katie Taylor to put an end to the rivalry and ultimately claim the victory that she feels she deserves. However, Taylor has instead opted to face Amanda Serrano in a one-off fight away from Matchroom, who have today confirmed that Cameron has been released from her contract in a noticeably short statement on social media. They said, "Matchroom Boxing can confirm today that we reached an agreement last month to release Chantel Cameron from her promotional deal. We would like to wish Chantel all the best in her future endeavors." So speaking of Katie Taylor and the first woman to win at the Olympics in 2012, where she won a gold medal, let's talk about the Olympics for a second here. Let's bounce around the world to Australia, in fact. Australia's Caitlin Parker is a member of World Boxing's Athletes Committee. The 28-year-old secured qualification for her second Olympic Games when she won gold at the 2023 Pacific Games in Honiara. And she talks about now her motivation for joining World Boxing's Athletes Committee and the importance of being in the Olympic Games. Why did you choose to join World Boxing's Athletes Committee?" she was asked. "I'm a member of the Combat Australia Athlete Advantage Committee. I'm previously represented for Oceania on an International Boxing Athletes Committee. So I'm really pleased to be part of World Boxing's first Athlete Committee. I take on these opportunities because it's important to me to work towards a better future for our sport. I strive to listen, observe, build connections, and provide opportunities for our athletes and our community to be stronger, more respectful, and support each other." She was asked, what would you like to achieve in your work with World Boxing?" She's responded, "It's important to me that the athlete's voice is heard and appropriate actions are taken when needed. I want positivity. I want to positively contribute as much as I can to the future of boxing and to play a part in keeping boxing as part of the Olympic movement, one step at a time." So why is it so important that boxing continues to remain part of the Olympic movement? She was asked after Paris 2024. "Although I was young at the time, I remember when I first learned that women's boxing was being introduced to the Olympics in 2012. My eyes were immediately set on it. I knew I wanted to represent Australia on the world's biggest sporting stage and inspired me. And I don't want to see that get taken away from future generations of boxers. Boxing is one of the oldest sports in the world. Many legends of the sport, including the biggest of them all, Muhammad Ali, came through the Olympics. So the sport would undeniably be damaged if not part of the games. It would break the hearts and shatter the dreams of many people. There you have it, folks. It's important that world boxing gets the support it needs and is recognized by the IOC. Anyway, let's move on to professional boxing and Canelo Alvarez, who will be fighting Jaime Munguia in a few days' time. Undisputed super middleweight champ Canelo Alvarez and his challenger Jaime Munguia kicked off fight week Tuesday with grand arrivals in Las Vegas. They're set to clash in a pay-per-view card on Prime Video from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And very briefly, this is what Canelo Alvarez had to say. This is a very significant and historic fight with two Mexicans fighting for all four belts for the first time. I'm looking to leave my mark and put my country up high. When Gary put it, he said, this is going to be an interesting fight and we're going to come after him. We're going to look for him in the ring. And in the end, it's going to be an amazing fight for the fans. Keeping it short and sweet. So let's move on to what Tim Bradley has to say. He seems to be rather controversial of late, as reported by Raj Palmer. BoxingNews24.com analyst Tim Bradley claims that Canelo Alvarez was forced into the fight with Jaime Munguia as part of his contract with PBC. Bradley says Canelo didn't want to fight Munguia, who's sporting a 43-0 record, and have to deal with his old promoters at Golden Boy, but he had to because PBC got the deal with Amazon Prime because of him. PBC needed Canelo to fight Munguia to hit it out the park. With their new deal with them, Munguia is the hot fighter after his ninth round knockout over John Ryder, even though hardcore boxing fans know that Canelo softened him up last year. Said Bradley, he's fighting Munguia because he was forced to. He didn't want to do business with Golden Boy, but he's forced to do it because of the money. Well, I think that says it all. Don't need to go any further on that one. Because the next thing he says is about David Benavidez, and we can't just stop there, can we? As we all know, with Alvarez set to fight Munguia, most of us would have preferred the David Benavidez fight. And this is what Tim Bradley had to say about the huge purse that was on the line and what it meant with respect to Benavidez. Tim Bradley said, deep down inside, just tells me that he respects Benavidez, talking about Mexican pride. You don't even got to be a Mexican. You just got to be a man, right? If you got another man coming into your house, coming into your sport, whatever you want to call it, and he's calling your name, and you're the face of boxing, and you don't answer that call, bro, that says something about you. You're supposed to stand up. You're supposed to say, oh, really? You think you're better than me? Okay. But then you get everybody, he's proven enough. I get it. He's proven enough. He's proven himself enough. But Benavidez, man, Benavidez is disrespecting him. He's telling him to grow some balls. He's doing all that. And if you, being Canelo Alvarez, have any pride and dignity in you and your skills, step up and face that man, bro. There you go. You might want to be curious to know who's fighting on the undercard. Let me just recap here. Canelo is fighting for the IBF, WBA, WBC, WBO super middleweight titles against Munguia. And supporting them are Mario Barrios and Fabian Medina, fighting for the WBC interim welterweight title. Brandon Figueroa is going toe-to-toe against Jesse Magdaleno for the WBC interim featherweight title. And Amanda Sanyons is fighting Gabriel Mastrai for the WBA regular welterweight title. There you have it. Right, let's move along to good old Ben Whitaker. You might recall a young man by the name of Ezra Aranyika, who stood up and demanded a fight against Ben Whitaker a month or so ago. I can't remember when that was. But anyway, it looks like these two boxers are going to go toe-to-toe. They're both unbeaten, and they're going to meet at Selhurst Park on Saturday, June 15th, which will be shown live on Sky. Aranyika exclusively told Sky Sports, which I'm now reporting to you, that British fighter Ben Whitaker has acted silly in the ring and like a kid with his showboating en route to a 7-0 start to his professional career since winning a silver medal at the 2020 Olympics. The Nigerian also vowed to knock his opponent out when they collide on the Chris Billum-Smith versus Richard Rapport card undercard at the home of the Crystal Palace Football Club. Said Aranyika, who is 12-0 with 10 knockouts Previously made a surprise appearance at the press conference ahead of Whitaker's unanimous decision win over Leon Willings at London's O2 Arena in March. The 28-year-old stormed the stage to demand a fight with Whitaker and has now got his wish. I'm part of an undercard that also includes Brixton's Isaac Chamberlain challenging Poland's Michael Szyslak for the European Cruiserweight title. Aronika added, "Every good boxer with rhythm can showboat. In my amateur days, I used to showboat a lot, but I stopped for a reason, because I've grown as a fighter." All right. Obviously, he's still acting like a little diva, like a little kid in the ring. So he has not grown yet. Talk and fight, ladies and gentlemen. Talk and fight. All right, let's talk about Terence Crawford. Terence Crawford believes he can capture all the belts at 154 to become the undisputed champion in a third weight class. The first part of Crawford's belt capturing vision is against WBA junior middleweight champ Israel Medjimov on April 3rd in Los Angeles, which we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. Crawford, as you know, he's 40-0, 31 knockouts, feels that Medjimov, 10-0-1, is the toughest, which is an accurate view given how weak the three champions are in the 154-pound weight class. The other two champions are Sebastian Funduro, holding the WBC and WBO belts, and Bakram Murtazaliyev. He's got the IBF title. Medjimov is not going to be easy, though, because he's a big puncher, and Crawford will need to change his brawling style that he used to defeat Errol Spence last July and to avoid getting his head knocked off by the hard shots. Sorry, the X-ray. Charles Brunn, of course. Charles Brunn wrote this good stuff. One of my favorite writers out there. If Crawford does stick around to collect all the belts at 154, it'll get interesting if he moves up to 160 and tries to do the same against the champions like Janibek, Alam Kanuli, Arislandi Lara, and Jermall Charlo. By the time Crawford moves up to 160, Jermall will probably have finally been stripped by then of his WBC title for failing to defend it for 4 years. Said Crawford, "For him telling me he wanted me to be his first fight in America was an honor. I was like, let's do it. Why not do it in Omaha? But LA is a good option." What Crawford didn't say is his Excellency, Turki Al-Sheikh, wanted him to fight David Benavidez at 160, but the match couldn't get made. Benavidez said that he told Al-Sheikh that he's with PBC and he can't go down to 160. Crawford may have dodged a bullet with that one because he's too small and not built to take that kind of pounding that Benavidez would deliver. Said Crawford, "We're months away from fight time. Come fight time, energy is going to be up. And we're going to be on a whole other level. We're both going to come out ready and do what's got to get done. Everywhere I go in the world, it's all love. People tell me they rate me as one of the best fighters in the world today. A lot of people hate me. So that makes it seems like there's not a lot of love here. August 3rd is going to be an exciting night of boxing. It's a tremendous card. As Eddie Hearn said, I can't remember there being a card as stacked as the August 3rd card is. There's potentially two belts on the line. If Funduro don't fight me after this, I'm potentially a WBA WBO champion. If he do fight me, that's three belts on the line, WBA, WBC, and WBO. There's only one more, IBF, to capture." And concludes Brunn, "Crawford shouldn't make the mistake of looking ahead of his fight with Medjimov because this might be a bridge too far for him due to the power he's going to be dealing with. Medjimov won't be drained of his weight, ring rusty, or coming off a car crash for the Crawford fight like the Nebraska native's last opponent. So potentially, two to three fights, that's undisputed," concluded Crawford. Wow. I like him. But as Charles Brunn pointed out, good luck to him. You might also be interested to know there are other fights happening Cinco de Mayo weekend. We've got the Estadio Luna Park in Buenos Aires, a fight going on Argentina TYC Sports. Evelyn Bermudez, 9-1-1 versus Jessica Salazar, 12-1. That's 10 rounds, 2 minutes, light flyweight. IBF World Light Flyweight, WBO World Light Flyweight title on the line. Rodrigo Fabian Ruiz, 18-0 versus Freddie Linez, 18-4, 10 rounds, super bantamweight. Jonathan Hernandez versus Mariano Sandoval. Hernandez is sporting a 13-0 record. Sandoval, 8-2 record in the welterweight division. Jennifer Meza, 8-3, going up against Roxana Colmenares, 10-3-1. again. 10 rounds, 2 minutes at the atomweight division. And round things out, Brian Perez versus Nestor Fernandez, 4-0 versus 3-2 record, 6 rounds in the middleweight division. Also, on that particular weekend coming up, we've got a fight in Osaka in Japan at the Edeon Arena. Emmanuel Rodriguez, 22-2, taking on Ryosuke Nishida, 8-0, over 12 rounds, bantamweight, IBF World Bantamweight title on the line there. Taro Nobita, 8-5-1 versus Guo Ming Li, 6-5, 8 rounds, bantamweight division. Hisayuki Kinjo, his debut against Daisuke Yokoyama, his debut as well, 4 rounds, light flyweight division. In the super bantamweight division, you've got Ryuta Kinjo, 2-2 versus Harimo Tadokoro, his debut, and Shota Tori, 0-1 versus Apai Katawa, his debut, also in the welterweight division. But one last one, I've told you before, Canelo Alvarez, 62-2, going up against Jaime Munguia, 43-0, 12 rounds, super middleweight division, IBF, WBA, WBC, WBO, World Super Middleweight Division, all those titles on the line, from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, live on DAZN, Prime Video, and pay-per-view.com. All right, Talking Fight fans, that's it for me for today. Thanks very much for joining me. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you later on here on TalkingFight.com.